Everybody, today's daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Chav Ches. We left off in daf Chav Zayin and Beis at the two dots, about 5-6 lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very, very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding at the two dots, and the Gemara is going to discuss the case of Tokeh L'toch HaBar, Tokeh L'toch HaDus, where you blow the shofar into a place where what you hear is an echo. And the Gemara is going to discuss, what if you hear partially the original sound of the shofar, and then you partially hear the echo as well? Does that count as being Yotzi the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar? The Gemara is going to raise several questions on the idea that you could be Yotzi with just part of a Tkiyah, and those questions are going to sound familiar because they're exactly the same Shakal Vitaria that we had in yesterday's Daf. And then the Gemara is going to talk about, what if you blow a Shofar of a Korban, a Shofar of a Korban Ola, a Shofar of a Korban Shlamim? Can you do it L'chadchila? And if you did it, does it even work B'dieved? Are you Yotzi the mitzvah B'dieved? And then we start on a series of sugyas that are probably some of the most important sugyas in all of Shas, some of the more major sugyas in all of Shas, and they come in quick succession, one right after the other. Mitzvah Shrichas Kavana is that Mitzvah Slav Lehanus Nitnu first, and then Mitzvah Shrichas Kavana, and then Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra. So all of that is going to be in one daf. There's no way to possibly, you know, there's no way to do that justice, that we have Mitzvah Slav Lehanus Nitnu, Mitzvah Kavana, and Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra, and then tomorrow a little more Mitzvah Shrichas Kavana. There's just so much to cover, but Bez Hashem, we'll do our best. So let's begin again. Chav Zayinam Beis at the two dots. So Tokeh L'toch HaBar L'toch HaDus. So Amar Rav Huna, the Mishnah said that if you're Tokeh L'toch HaBar L'toch HaDus, so if you hear the Kol Shofar, you're Yotzei, but if you hear the Kol Havara, you're not Yotzei. If all you heard is the echo, then you're not Yotzei. So Rav Huna qualifies that Lo Shanu Al Lo Sanam Demel Svas HaBar. That's only for people who are standing outside of the bar. Av Lo Sanam Dem Bibar, Yotzu, but those who are standing in the bar are Yotze, because what they're hearing is the actual Kol Rishon. They're hearing the original Kol. They're not hearing only the echo when they're inside of the bar. So they're Yotze. And Tanya Namiyachi, we have a Brisa that seems to support this, because the Brisa says, HaTokeh L'toch HaBar L'toch HaDus, Yotze, that if you blow shofar into a bar, you are Yotze. I vatnan lo Yotze, but doesn't our Mishnah say you're not Yotze? El Alav, the only way to reconcile it is, Shema Minoke, the Rav Huna must be correct, that there must be a difference between people who are inside of the bar who are Yotze, and people who are outside of the bar who are not Yotze, Shema Mina. So we see that Rav Huna is correct. Some have Rav Huna's comment not just as a comment, but as a way to resolve the very contradiction that we just raised. They ask it as a contradiction. That the Mishnah says, the Mishnah says that you're not Yotze when you're Tokeh inside of a bar, but the Brisa says you are Yotze. And that's the context that Rav Huna comes along. That the difference is whether you're standing on the edge of the bar or you're standing in the bar. If you're standing on the edge of the bar, you're likely only hearing an echo, and therefore you're not Yotze. But if you're in the bar, you're actually hearing the Kol Shofar, and then you are Yotze. Amar Rabba, Shama Miktsas Tkiyah Bebar, Umiktsas Tkiyah Svas HaBar Yotze. So Rabba comes with a new case. He says, what if it's not entirely that you were entirely out of the bar or entirely in the bar? You heard a little bit in the bar and a little bit outside of the bar. So says Rabba, you are Yotze in such a case. So says Gemara, Miktsas Tkiyah by contrast, if you heard part of the tekiah before Amar HaShachar, which is before the Zman of Tekiah Shofar, and then the tekiah was an elongated tekiah and it extended past Amar HaShachar, which is into the Zman of Tekiah Shofar, so in such a case you're not Yotze. So it seems a little bit odd that both cases seem to be very similar to each other, where half of the tekiah was good and half of the tekiah was no good. Half of the tekiah was in the bar, half of the tekiah was outside of the bar. Half tekiah before Amar HaShachar, half the tekiah after Amar HaShachar. Yet in the case of the bar we said Yotze. In the case of Amar HaShachar we say Lo Yotze. So the Gemara asks the question right away. Why is it that it's no good if it half before Amar HaShachar, half after? It's because you need the whole thing to be b'chiyuva, and you don't have it because half of the tekiah is before Amar HaShachar. Over here also, by being in the bar and outside of the bar, don't you need the entire tekiah to be b'chiyuva? And you don't seem to have that because you're not you're partially you're in the bar for half the time and outside of the bar. Says Gemara, Amar Hachi Hashta. No, you can't compare the two cases. Hasam Laila Lavs Man Chiyuvu Klal. Before Amar Shachar is nighttime. Nighttime is not the Chiyuv at all for Tkiyah Shofar. Meaning there is no way one is fulfilling the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar in that context of prior to Amar Shachar. Hacha Bor Makom Chiyuvu Hu Losan Amdim Babar. But over here, a bar is a Makom Chiyuv for those who are in the bar. Meaning even this very Tkiyah Shofar that you're blowing in the bar could be a Tkiyah de Mitzvah. It could be a tekiah that people are yotzei the mitzvah with. How so? If they're in the bar, they could be yotzei the mitzvah. Elamai, you were outside of the bar for half of the tekiah. That's your problem. But the tekiah is a tekiah de mitzvah. So says Gemara, wow, okay, so what did Rabbi teach us? That if half the tekiah was heard from inside the bar and half from outside the bar, so you're yotzei the mitzvah. So the Meimra, the Sava Rabba, Shama Sof tekiah below Tchilas tekiah yotza. Does Rabba mean to say that if you hear only, the Rabba seems to be telling me that if you hear only the end of a tekiah without hearing the beginning of a tekiah, you are yotzei umimela, and therefore it automatically follow Tchilas tekiah below Sof tekiah yotza. It shouldn't matter which half of the tekiah you hear, whether it's the first half of the tekiah or the second half of the tekiah, as long as you hear half of a tekiah, you should be yotzei l'chora. So that's what Rabba seems to be telling me, that you don't need to hear the entire blast. You only need to hear part of the blast. So says the Gemara, but I'll bring you Raya's not that way. And this next 10 lines of Gemara should sound very familiar. So much so when I was preparing the daf, I was thinking, wait, did I get the wrong daf that I'm doing yesterday's daf again? I thought I was getting confused. But it's just the same Shakla Vitaria that we had yesterday. So says Gemara, Tashma, I'll bring a Raya. Talk about Rishonu Mashal Mishniya Kishtayim in Biyado Allah. That if you blow, you're blowing a tekiah, true tekiah, let's say. So you blew a regular tekiah, then a trua, and then the last tekiah in the set, you blew doubly long. Let's say you normally require a 2 full seconds for a tekiah of a tarat, and you blew 4 full seconds for that tekiah. So you were hoping that that would count as the end tekiah of the first set and the first tekiah of the next set. Says, no, it only counts as one tekiah. No matter how long you blew it, if it was one solid blast, one straight blast, it only counts as one tekiah. But if you hold that just hearing the beginning of a tekiah counts, and you hold that just hearing the end of a tekiah counts, why can't blowing a very long tekiah count as two? The beginning should count as one, the end should count as another one. Says, no, because psuki tekiah sameadadi lo paskinu. We don't do that. We don't cut a tekiah in half and have it count for two. We say that if you hear miktsas, that's good enough, but not that that you can actually cut a tekiah into two and be able to say two tekiahs with a single tekiah. That's a different case entirely. So says Gemara Tashma, I'll bring another right. If you blow a shofar into a place that creates an echo, im kol shofar shama yotza, our Mishnah said that if you actually hear the sound of the shofar, you're yotzei. Vim kol havara shama lo yotza, but if you only hear the echo, you're not yotzei. Why aren't you yotzei with the initial burst of sound that came out of the shofar before the echo kicked in? That should count as a valid tekiah. So it says, after all, according to Rabbah, if you hear only the first half of tekiah, you're yotzei. So the initial burst of sound from the shofar is a straight tekiah. So you should be yotzei with that. Later it got mixed in with the call of an echo. So what? That has nothing to do with you. That's not a problem, according to Rabbah. So says the Gemara, you know what? We must be misunderstanding Rabbah entirely. When Rabbah said that if your shama mixes tekiah bibar, mixes tekiah svasabar, that you're yotzei, he doesn't mean that you heard half of the tekiah in a proper way and half of the tekiah in an improper way. We're misunderstanding him. Rabba would not hold that that's okay. Hearing half of a tekiah in a proper way and half of a tekiah improperly, whichever half, is not valid. Kika marabba bitokei aval l'nafshe. Rabba was talking about a case where a guy was crouched down in a bar with a shofar, and he started blowing a tekiah, and as he's blowing, he rises out of the bar as he's blowing the tekiah. So he himself was coming out of the bar with the shofar coming out of the bar at the same time. So when he was in the bar, he was able to hear, because he's in the bar, and when you're in the bar, you're able to hear a tekiah that's happening in the bar. And when he's out of the bar, he's able to hear, because the tekiah is also out of the bar when he came out of the bar. So that's the case that Rabba said, you're yotzei. But if you hear half a kol tekiah and half a kol avara, even Rabba would say you're not yotzei. So says Gemara, ihachi malameimra. Well, then, if Rabba's talking about that case, where you blew half in the bar, half out of the bar, and you were just rising out of the bar as you were blowing the shofar, what's the chiddush that you're yotzei? Of course you're yotzei. Everything was good. There was nothing invalid about any part of the tekiah. So says Gemara, no, ma'u detema. Zimnim de mapik reshe vakati shofar babar v'kamar aviv kala. I might have thought that I'm choshish that as he's rising out of the bar, so his ears will rise out of the bar before the shofar rises out of the bar. So he's going to hear the echo at that point, in that like millisecond where his ears are out of the bar and his mouth is not yet out of the bar, that in that millisecond he's going to hear a kalavara, and that's going to be ma'arviv kala, that's going to mess up the call, that's going to confuse the call. So kamar shmalan, therefore it comes to tell me that it's not a problem, that we don't have any such chashash. So wow, so the Gemara's maskana is that according to Rabbah, if you hear only half of a kol b'chiyuva and half of the kol you don't hear properly, you're not yotze, right? According to Rabbah, it turns out that you're not. Well, we thought Rabbah was saying on the very top line of our daf, that shama mixaskiya b'bar mixaskiya svasa bar yatza, we thought he's saying that if you hear half of it in a valid way, half in an invalid way, you're yotze. No, he doesn't hold that. You're not yotze in the end of the Gemara. The case that he was talking about was the entire thing was valid. The question becomes, though, what if it's not that half was valid, half was invalid. What if you're in shul, you're listening to a tekiah, and you have to leave in the middle of a tekiah, in the middle of a blast? Are you yotze then? Meaning you have a child start screaming and they announce, the rabbi announced before tekiah shofar, if your children are making noise, please just walk out, don't disrupt everybody else, or something like that. Or you're running out to a hatzalah call or something. So you leave in the middle of a tekiah, or you come in late. A lot of times, you know, they announce tekiah shofar is not going to be before, 10:30. And a woman shows up at 10:31. And sure enough, they're ready in the middle of the first tekiah. So does that count as a fulfillment of a tekiah? Because that's a case where the entire tekiah was valid, it's just you didn't hear the entire tekiah. So is that going to work in such a case? So that is a machlokas haposkin. Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tavkuf Pei Zayin Sivkat Yadal writes, Hu adin nami im kol tekiah hayu b'chiyuv elashu nichnas be'emtza tekiah, o sheyatzim beis hakness be'emtza tekiah, and you didn't hear the rest of it? Lo yotze. He says it's exactly the same case, you would not be yotze. However, in the Bir Alach and Tavkuf Peches, he quotes from a Nahar Shalom, from the Nahar Shalom that says that if the tekiah was entirely a kosher tekiah, but you only heard part of it, then you are yotze. The whole shakla v'tariah of our sugya is when a chelik of the tekiah was an invalid tekiah, but if the entirety of the tekiah was valid, then in fact you are yotze. Okay, so that's the end of that sugya. So now the Gemara begins a new topic. Rav Yehuda. B'shofar shalolah lo yitkav im taka yatza. One should not blow shofar on a carbon ola's horn. And if you did blow shofar on a carbon ola's horn, you're yotze. B'shofar shalolim lo yitkav v'im taka lo yatza. You should not blow shofar using a carbon shalolim's horn. And if you did, you're not even yotze. So the difference between an ola and a shalolim, they're both carbonos. And therefore, you should not blow shofar using the horn of either kind of animal, neither an ola nor a shalolim. Yet, if you did it with an ola, you're yotze. But if you did it with a shalolim, you're not yotze. Says we're my time. Why would there be a discrepancy between an ola and a shlamim? So ola bas mi'ilahi. Ola is subject to mi'ila. Kivan de malba nafka l'chulin. The halacha is that when you violate mi'ila on something that belongs to hegdish, it ceases being hegdish. It now becomes chulin. So I wasn't allowed to blow it because it's a violation of mi'ila. But as soon as I blew it, it became chulin. So once it became chulin, I'm blowing a regular shofar. And you're yotze the mitzvah when you blow a regular shofar. So I'm yotze the mitzvah with the shofar shal ola. But shlamim, which is not subject to mi'ila, isuruhu derachabuhu velo nafki l'chulin. It's just that I'm not allowed to use it, and it's not subject to mi'ila, so nothing's going to turn it into chulin, so it remains a hektish shofar, and therefore, I'm not yotze with the blowing of the shofar. The Achronim raised the question: how can the Gemara say that if you blow a shofar shal ola, you're in violation of meila? The Gemara in the second parak of Masechet Pesachim on Daf Chavav tells us kol mare v'reyach ein behem mishum meila. That if you hear the sounds of hegdish, you see the sights of hegdish that are very beautiful, you smell the smells of hegdish, that is not subject to meila. So why is it that blowing a shofar shal ola, that's meila? What do you mean that's meila? That's kol. Kol should not be subject to meila. So two different Achronim give answers to this question. It happens to be that when I first saw these two answers, I looked at one of them and I said, that's not correct. That can't be the right answer. And the other one I looked at, I said, that sounds like it's the right answer. But then they both appear in a Rishon. Both answers are suggested by the Mi'iri himself. So you can't really say that's not a correct answer. But intuitively, I thought one was much better. You tell me what you think. So the first answer, the Minchas Baruch suggests, that we could be, that maybe, really, you're right. A kol is not subject to mi'ila because a kol is not considered substantial enough to be subject to mi'ila. Ooh, but when that kol comes with a mitzvah, there's a hanas kiyum mitzvah with that kol that beefs up the kol and makes it something that is subject to me'ila. So I'm hearing stam musical instruments that belong to Hagdish. That's not me'ila. That's just kol. But I'm hearing a shofar. Not only is it a shofar shal Hagdish, but it's also a mitzvah of shofar that accompanies it, that beefs up the kol and that makes it that it is subject to me'ila. The other answer is offered by the Yom Trua, where the Yom Trua says that which we say a kol is not of a din me'ila, that means that I'm hearing the sounds of Hagdish. But when I take an actual physical shofar in my hand and I put it to my mouth and I blow it and I create a sound, that's much more. That's not just hearing the sounds of Hagdish. That's being tokeh of a shofar. That's actually blowing a shofar. That's actually physically doing an activity with the item of Hagdish. And maybe that would be subject to Mi'ila, because you're actually using the Heftza Shal Hagdish. You're not just hearing the sound of Hagdish. So which one did I like? Which one didn't I like? I thought the first answer wasn't really so strong. What do you mean? Because it's Hanos, it's the whole sugi we're about to embark on, is that Hanos of a mitzvah. It doesn't count as a mitzvah. Why does it become more substantive just because it's a mitzvah? But you can't dismiss it because it's a Rishon. So the Me'iri says both. The Me'iri says both of these answers. So, you know, these are the two answers. Now, it's also interesting, there's a more fascinating question that the Sefer Yom Trua raises over here. But when we say b'shofar shal ola lo yitka, so the Yom Trua says, well, wait a second, there is a medrash in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar in Perek Lamed Aleph that says that the horns of the ayalo shal Yitzchak, the ayal that replaced Yitzchak by the Akeda, the horns did not go to waste. They were used for two shofaros. Shal smol, the left horn, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to blow the shofar at Har Sinai. And the right horn is larger than the left horn, and that's going to be used, the Asulovo, on the day of Kibbutz Golios. That's what the function of these horns are. So I asked the Yom Trua, Ayalo Shel Yitzchak was a carbon ola. It's beferish in the Pasuk of Ayaleu, la ola tachas beno, that Avraham Avinu brought it as a carbon ola in place of Yitzchak. How could you blow a shofar of an ola? We said, how can they use these horns? The Gemara says, you're not allowed to blow a shofar of a carbon ola. Pretty sharp question, right? So how could they use these horns, La Sadava or by Har Sinai? So the Yom Trua suggests that the shofar was taken after already the Zrika. And once the Zrika happens, then it's no longer subject to Mi'ila anymore. Okay, so you have to give some sort of answer like that. Says the Gemara Vaiter. Now, Maskifla Rava. Rava says, well, wait a second. What do we just say about the ola? That since it's subject to Mi'ila, so you blow it, it becomes chulin, and once it becomes chulin, you're able to be able to see the mitzvah with it. Maskar Rava Emas, Emas Ma'al. When is the violation of Mi'ila? It only becomes chulin once you violate Mi'ila. When did you violate Mi'ila? Lebasar detaka. Only after you already blew the shofar. Kikataka bisurataka, which means at the time that you're blowing the shofar, it was still Hagdish. And if it was still Hagdish, it was not yet chulin, which means you cannot be Yotze the mitzvah. So why are we assuming that you're Yotze with the shofar shalola? So Elam Rava, Rava says, you know, that kasha was such a good kasha. Rava's the one that asked it. He says, it's such a good kasha that I have to change my mind based on that kasha. Rav is playing both parts in the conversation over here. So Rav says, good kasha. I had someone come over to me today. He said that he's teaching one of his friends Yiddish. And he said that it's good enough already that he could have a conversation with his friend in Yiddish. He says, I just have to play both parts of the conversation, but we could have a conversation in Yiddish. So Rav is playing both sides of the conversation over here. Rav says, Alam Rav, Echaze Vechaze, Lo Yatza. That you're not Yotze either way. You're not Yotze with a shofar of an ola, nor with the shofar of a shlamin. But then Rava thought about it again. Hadar Amar, Echazev Echazev Yatza. Then Rava said, you're Yotze with both, even the shlamin. Why? Mitzvah, Slavle Hanus Nitnu. The halacha is that even though you're not allowed to get Hanah from Hagdish, Hanah of a Kiyuma Mitzvah does not qualify as Hanah. Mitzvah, Slavle Hanus Nitnu. And therefore, one is in fact in fulfillment of the Mitzvah with a shofar of an Ola and a shofar of a Shlamim. Because a Kiyuma Mitzvah is not considered Hanah, and therefore you didn't violate Mila at all. So you didn't violate any Isser. So it's not a Mitzvah Baba Avera. There's a question in the Achronim. So does that mean you're allowed to do it L'chadchila? I mean, if you have a shofar of Nola, a shofar of a Shlamim, mitzvah slav lehanas nitnu. So are we changing our mind entirely that not only are you Yotze, but you could even do it lechadchila, because it's not called that you're getting Hanoah, since you're only trying to do a mitzvah with it? So there are a number of achronim that suggest that even though mitzvah slav lehanas nitnu, lechadchila you're not allowed to do it. However, there's another group of achronim, the Knas HaGadola, and the Tshuvas Avnei Miluim, and the Keren Ora, that say that it's mutter even lechadchila to be mekayim a mitzvah with the Surei Hanoah, that mitzvah slav lehanas nitnu at all, it's not called that you're getting Hanoah from the mitzvah. Now, the Ritva has an important comment on the idea of mitzvah lav lehanos nitnu. He writes that even though, what do you mean lav lehanos nitnu? We believe in schar va'onesh, no? So we believe that whenever we do a mitzvah, we're going to get great schar in Olam Haba. Yafa shal achas with schar in Olam Haba from all the hanaos that one has in Olam Haba. So what do you mean, in Olam Hazeh rather. So what do you mean mitzvah lav lehanos nitnu? Of course you're going to get hanaos from mitzvahs. Every mitzvah you do is going to give you hanaos that you can't even conceive of. What do you mean mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu? So the Ritva suggests a very important comment that mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu means that in the physical act of the mitzvah, the pleasure you get from the physical act itself is not called hana'a. The fact that you can get paid back later, that's a separate cheshbon. That's not called hana'a at all. It's not a violation of hana'a. Meaning, let's say I can't stand eating broccoli or Brussels sprouts or something, but my mother tells me it's very healthy. If you eat your broccoli or Brussels sprouts, I'll give you $10. So if that broccoli and Brussels sprouts is asr b'hana'a, and I find it vile, I can't eat it b'chlal, but I do enjoy $10. So the $10 is not called hana'a from the broccoli. That's the payment you're going to get afterwards. Schar in olam haba is payment you can get afterwards. That's not called that you're getting hana'a from the item itself. So says the Ritva. The Chasam Sofer has another important comment in his Chidushim on Sukkah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, where the Chasam Sofer says, "Well, wait a second. Forget about the schar you can get in Olam Haba. What about the enjoyment you have in Olam Hazeh? When you do a mitzvah, doesn't it feel good? I mean, it feels good right now. In the here and now, it feels good. That's the ma'aseh they tell with Rav Aaron Cutler. I don't know, they probably tell it with a lot of gedolim. But the ma'aseh they tell that a gvir who was supporting Lakewood said to Rav Aaron Cutler, you know, I have the better end of the arrangement between us. Because you learn and teach Torah all day, and you break your head on learning, and you don't sleep at all, and you go through all the tzaros, and you're going to have great schar in Olam Haba. I, who support your learning, I get an equal share in that schar in Olam Haba, because I'm supporting the learning, plus I get to enjoy Olam Hazeh. I drive a nice car, I live in a nice house, I get to relax, I have all the creature comforts that a person could want, so I have the better end of the deal. And Rav Aaron Cutler looked at him like he came from a different planet, and he said, what do you mean, Hanas Olam Hazeh? You ever miyashiv a difficult Rambam? You have no idea what Hanas Olam Hazeh is until you've been miyashiv a difficult Rambam. That's Hanas Olam Hazeh. Forget all the schar you're going to get in the next world. Person does a mitzvah, says the Chasam Sofer, you're getting a lot of hana'a in this world. So why isn't the Kiyum HaMitzvah called hana'a? How do you deny the fact that there is hana'a from the Kiyum HaMitzvah? So Chasam Sofer says, yeah, there's hana'a from the Kiyum HaMitzvah, but if it was usher to do it, if you would not be allowed to do that mitzvah with the Yisuri hana'a, you'd get equal hana'a from refraining from it. Because the hana'a is that you're doing Tzivoy Hashem, that you're doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you not to do it, you'd get the same hana'a. So, and he says, and based on that, I can answer the Ritva's Kasha also. What about Schar in Olam Haba? Doesn't that count as hana'a? He says, if you didn't do the mitzvah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want you to do the mitzvah, then it would be as if you were a chash of lasos mitzvah, where the halacha is that if an onus happened where you couldn't do the mitzvah because Tzivoy Hashem was that you can't do the mitzvah, then you get the same schar as if you did the mitzvah anyway. So even when you're not kind of the mitzvah, you're getting that schar in Olam Haba. And as far as you schar in Olam Hazeh, it's going to be the same whether you do it or you don't do it, as long as you're doing the Tzivoy Hashem. Either way, it's going to be a fulfillment of the Dvar Hashem and the Ratzon Hashem, and therefore you're going to be enjoying that benefit anyway. So it's no greater benefit in one direction or the other. Says now, Amar Rav Yehuda, b'shofar shel avodah zarah liyitchav v'mtaka yatza. One should not blow b'shofar shel avodah zarah. If he does, he's yotzei the mitzvah. B'shofar shel nidachas liyitchav v'mtaka lo yatza. You shouldn't blow b'shofar shel nidachas, but if you do, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. My timer, why would there be a discrepancy between them? They're both avodah zarah. Just the ir nidachas is avodah zarah in a mass scale, whereas regular avodah zarah is a single person's avodah zarah. Says Mari, ir nidachas kituzei mechtashirei. Ir nidachas is not only that it's asabah na, it's supposed to be burnt entirely. And the halach is, when something is supposed to be burnt entirely, we view it as if kalami disar, if it's kasar of dami, it's as if it's already burnt, so it doesn't have a shear shofar. It's as if it's already been chopped up into a million pieces and burnt into ashes. Amar Rava, hamudra anami chaveru mutalut kolo, tkiyah shel mitzvah. If you have a neder that you're not allowed to get hana'a from a particular person, that person could blow shofar for you for the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah. Hamudra anami shofar. If you have a neder that you're not allowed to get hana'a from the physical object, from the shofar, mutalut kolo tkiyah shel mitzvah. You're allowed to use that object for Tekiya Shofar. V'yamar Rava, Mudra Adam Mechavero, Mazel of Mechatos B'Yimosag Shamim, Avlo B'Yimosag Chama. That someone who's Mudra Hanoah from somebody else, you could sprinkle the guy who you're not allowed to get Hanoah from, if he has Mechatos, he has the ashes of the Paraduma with the water, he's allowed to sprinkle that on you during the winter time where it's not going to be physically Geshmak to get cold water sprinkled on you. So that's the fact that you're becoming Tohar is not called Hanoah, that's just a mitzvah. So that you can get. But Avlo B'Yimosag Chama, in the summertime, where people like to go into a cold sprinkler because it cools them off a little bit, that you're not allowed to do from someone that you're not allowed to get hana'ah from. Because even though the mitzvah element is not considered hana'ah, the cooling off, the physical cooling off, is considered hana'ah. Similarly, Hamudra hana'ah mi mayan, if a person has a neder hana'ah that he's not going to get hana'ah from a mayan, tovel bo tefillah shel mitzvah b'mosag shamim, aval lo b'mosag chama. He can be tovel tefillah shel mitzvah during the winter time, so you can go to the Ari Mikvah during January or something, where he's freezing cold anyway, it's just going to be colder, so he's not going to get any benefit from it, but not b'mosag chama, not during the summertime, where he may enjoy the coolness of the water to cool his body down. People go swimming all the time for enjoyment, so a person's going to go into a cool pool on a hot day, that's going to be enjoyable for him, so that's going to be considered physical hana'ah and a violation of his isra hana'ah. So now Nusugya, they sent Avod Shmuel the following message. It said, if someone was forced to eat matzah, he's Yotze. So says Mark, Kafo man, who's forcing who to eat matzah? What are we talking about? What's the case exactly where someone has matzah being stuffed down his throat? Ilema Kafo shade. If we're talking about that a shade forced him, what does it mean a shade forced him? It means that the person had a psychotic episode where he believes that he's being seized by demons and in that state of mind where he's having a psychotic breakdown that he eats matzah, so that's what we're saying, that kafo v'achol matzah yatzah, that you're yotze even though you ate it while you were a shota, even though you ate the matzah while you're out of your mind. But is that true? Meaning, isn't the halacha, says the Gemara, the Brisa tells us that there's a halacha that if a person is sometimes lucid and sometimes he's deranged, that when he's deranged, he's not considered a bar chiyuva, and any mitzvah he does doesn't count during that time because he's a shota. But while he's lucid, while he's okay, then it does count, and his mitzvahs do count, and he is a bar chiyuva. So if he ate matzah while he was a shota, and then he straightens out a little bit, so he's going to have to eat matzah again. He's not going to be yotze. How could you say that kafo v'achol matzah is yotze if that's what we're talking about, that you were kofa him in that way? That can't be. That can't be that he's yotze. He has a din of a shota in such a case. Allah is that a shota is part of our mitzvahs. We always say cheir shota v'katin. There's a discussion. Someone was just telling me over Shabbos, there's a fellow who gives chabura in shul on Friday night, so he was talking about the halacha of a cheresh. So cheresh, we always think a deaf person. So a deaf person has no das, and therefore he's not going to be able to say mitzvah. Is that our experience? A deaf person has no das? So it used to be before they figured out how to communicate with the deaf and how to teach sign language and writing, and they knew how to communicate with them. So you can imagine being trapped inside your own head where you can't communicate with anybody else outside. So yeah, probably a person's not going to have das. But once we figured out how to communicate with the deaf and how to teach the deaf communication skills, the deaf can be brilliant and quite accomplished, and they absolutely can have das. That's what the Tshuva Ksav Sofer says, that he went visited a school in Germany, a school for the deaf, and he was stunned by how high-functioning the deaf are, and maybe the whole halacha changes. So it's not that the halacha changes, halacha always stays the same, but the assumption is that a cheresh is a lav bar das. Nowadays, that assumption is probably not a valid assumption anymore, and therefore someone who's deaf, when I speak to Rav Shachter about, I once asked Rav Shachter about a cheresh, he said, no, a cheresh means a developmentally disabled person who's not able to function, that the level of their developmental disabilities is such that they're not able to function. That's what cheresh means. So I said, isn't that a shota? What does shota mean? He said, no, shota means a psychotic episode. Shota means someone who's deranged. That's entirely different than a cheresh. Cheresh means someone who's just not very high functioning. So I once asked him, like, how not very high functioning is not very, meaning, where do you draw the line? You know, everyone's somewhere on the spectrum. Where exactly do you draw the line of what would qualify as a cheresh? So he said, if when it's cold outside, he doesn't realize that he needs to put on a coat before he goes outside. When it's hot outside, he doesn't realize that he needs to take off his coat. That when he's hungry, he doesn't know to feed himself. That, you know, he doesn't know how to take care of his basic needs. So such a person, you would say, would have a status of a cheresh. But a person who's high enough functioning that he could take care of his basic needs, so that would not have the status of a cheresh. But over here, we're talking about a shota. So if a person is a shota, and he eats matzah, he's not yotze the mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah when you're not a bar chiyuva, you're going to have to do the mitzvah again. This is the basis of every bar mitzvah drasha you ever heard for a bar mitzvah boy who became bar mitzvah during Sfira. Right? Everyone always says over the minchas chinuch. The minchas chinuch raises the suffix. If a person becomes bar mitzvah middle of Sfira, does the fact that he counted Sfira as a katan count toward him being able to continue to count with a bracha as a gadol? So the whole basis of the question is that he did it as an eno bar, as a lav bar chiyuva when he was a katan, he was not a bar chiyuva. So can that count for anything? So some argue yes, because even as an adult, the mitzvah sfira somer b'zman hazeh is only drabanan. So as a child, he was doing the mitzvah midrabanan because he's only bar chiyuva midrabanan, and as an adult, it's only midrabanan. Others give other svaras, but the whole basis of the question is this idea. But bottom line is the Gemara is asking a question over here: how can they send a message to Avu the Shmuel that if a person is forced to eat matzah, he's yotzei? If it's kafo shein, it means he's a shota, and a shota is not yotzei. So Amar Ravashi shekafu parsiyim. No, being forced doesn't mean he was forced by a shade. It doesn't mean that he was a shota. It means that non-Jews were bullying him and forcing him to eat matzah. Parsiyim were forcing him to eat matzah, and he's yotzei. Amar Rav is also merits to care the shir yotzei. Rav says, oh, so you see that you don't need to have kavana to do the mitzvah in order to be yotzei. If you're blowing shofar just to make a musical instrument out of it, you're yotzei. So says Mar, yeah, pshita, hainu hach. That's exactly the same thing. You're just telling me that you don't need to have kavana to do a mitzvah. So says Mar, no, ma'u detei ma'asam achal matzah marachman avol achal, avol hocha zichrun churuk sivai misasik bi'almuhu. I might have thought that when you're forced to eat matzah, the Torah only requires that you physically eat matzah, and you physically ate matzah, so you're yotzei. But over here, the Torah doesn't just require that you physically blow a shofar, it says that you have to have a zichrun trua. So if all you're doing is messing around trying to make musical notes with the shofar, so maybe that doesn't count as a zichrun trua. So kamash mulan that you're still yotzei. So alma kasava rava mitzvah ein tzrichas kavana. You see from here that Rava holds that you don't need kavana in order to be mekayim a mitzvah. This is a machlokas all over shas. It's a machlokas rishonim. It's a machlokas. It's a steer in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes in Kriyashma and Simon Samach the mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, that one is not yotzei Kriyashma without kavana. Yet in Simon Tav Pei Tes in Hilchos Sfira Haomer, Shulchan Aruch writes that if someone asks you what night of Sfira it is and you haven't yet counted, you have to say last night was such and such. You're not allowed to tell them what night it actually is, because then you're going to be yotzei the mitzvah even though you're having no kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. So the way the Rov Achronim are miyashiv the steer in Shulchan Aruch, because they say it depends. Mitzvah star raisa tzrichos kavana. Mitzvah drabanan, like Sfira Haomer b'zman hazeh, which we assume is only drabanan, are ein tzrichos kavana. So that's what we normally assume. But Rava seems to be telling us, even on mitzvah star raisa, like shofar, like matzah, that you don't need kavana in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. If a person was reading from the Torah and it came time for Kriyashma, he's reading those psukim in the Torah. Im kivin liba yotzei, im lav lo yotzei. So if he has kavanah to be yotzei, he's yotzei. Otherwise, not yotzei. My lav kivin liba lotzeis. Doesn't im kivin liba mean that he has in mind to be yotzei the mitzvah, and only then is he yotzei the mitzvah? Don't you see mitzvah strichas kavanah? Says more lo likros. Kivin liba doesn't mean that he's having a mind to be yotzei the mitzvah. It means he's having a mind to read the words. So likros hakakari, of course he's having a mind to read the words. He's reading the words. So says no, bakari lagia. He's only reading just to edit, to make sure that all the words are there. But he's not even in, he might not be having in mind to actually read the words. So that's what we say. No, if he has in mind to read the words, even if he's not having in mind to be yotzei the mitzvah, according to Rava, he'd be yotzei, because mitzvah says srichos kavana. Tashma says, I'll bring you a second raya. You're passing behind the shul, or you happen to live right near a shul and you hear a shofar or megillah coming from the shul, im kivein libo yotze, if you have kavanah, and only if you have kavanah, you're yotze. But vim lav lo yotze, if you don't have kavanah, you're not yotze. My love im kivein libo latze, doesn't im kivein libo mean that you're having kavanah to be yotze the mitzvah? So you see mitzvah strichas kavanah, says malo lishmoa, it means you're having kavanah to hear. Lishmoa v'hashama, what do you mean having kavanah to hear? You're hearing it automatically just by your proximity to the location where the shofar is being blown and the megillah is being read. So Sabar chamor bialmuhu. No, it could be you're hearing the shofar, but you think it's just a chamor. It's just a donkey braying. You don't realize what it is that you're hearing. I don't know how you would say that about Megillah, but at least for shofar, you could say maybe the Balkari is not so great, so it sounds like just a donkey braying. But for shofar, you hear that it's just you think it's a chamor bialma. So that's why it tells me no. In kivin libo, if you realize that what you're hearing is a shofar, even without kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah, you're going to be yotzei because mitzvahs ain't shrichos kavana. Say more. We'll try a
third raya. This kavin shmei v'lem is kavin mashmiyav. The guy hearing it is having kavan, but not the guy producing the sound. Mashmiyav v'lem is kavin shmei, or vice versa. Lo yatsa she's kavin shmei u'mashmiyav. Both parties need to have kavana. So bishlam is kavin mashmiyav v'lem is kavin shmeiak. Because overcome Rabbi Almahu, I could understand why how you could have a case where the guy blowing the shofar has kavana, but the guy hearing it doesn't have kavana even to hear a shofar because he thinks what he's hearing is just a donkey braying. How could you have a case where the guy who's hearing it is having kavana, but the guy blowing it is not having kavana? What does it mean he's not having kavana? Lav b'tekei l'shir? Doesn't it mean that he knows he's producing a shofar sound? He just doesn't have kavana l'shem mitzvah. And you see that it's not yotzei because he's not having kavana l'shem mitzvah. He's not yotzei, which means mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Another challenge to Rava, who held mitzvos ain't tzrichos kavana. Says Marano, Dilma de kamenavach navuche. Nah, maybe the case is he's just messing around with the shofar. He doesn't even realize that he's producing sounds of a shofar. He's not producing kosher sounds, or he thinks he's not producing. Tosas modifies it. He thinks he's not producing kosher sounds, so he's not even intending to blow kosher sounds of a shofar. And that's what we're saying, that if he has kavana to at least produce the right sounds, even if he doesn't have kavana l'shem mitzvah, that would be good enough, and Rava could be defended. Amle Abayi, so Abayi says, well, wait a second. If you're going to tell me that mitzvah sein tzrichos kavana, el me'ata hayashim b'shmini b'sukkah yilacha, that if a person sleeps in sukkah on shmini atzeres, he should get malchus for baltosif. Because if you can say mitzvah tzrichos kavana, mitzvah ain't tzrichos kavana, and that you can fulfill a mitzvah during the zman of the mitzvah, you can fulfill a mitzvah without having kavana, then probably if you do a mitzvah after the zman of the mitzvah without having kavana, it should still qualify as baltosif, because you're doing what would qualify as a mitzvah in normal times, but you're doing it in a baltosif kind of way. So if you sleep in sukkah on shmini atzeres, you should get malchus. So lo, shayni omer mitzvah seinu over lein el bezman. No, baltosif can only be violated when it's still during the zman ha-mitzvah. Shmini Atzeres is no longer the zman of the mitzvah of Sukkah. So Masrav Shem Baraba, minayin l'koyin shal l'duchan shleyomar hol v'nitna l'itor rishus l'varichas Yisrael osu brachachas mishali. So Rav Shem Baraba challenges this and he says, well, wait a second. How do I know that a koyin that's all l'duchan, the Braisa tells me, how do I know that a kohen that's going to be mevarich the people should not say to himself, oh, since I have rishus to give a bracha, I'm going to add my own bracha. Kigon, Hashem Elokei Avosecham Yosef Aleichem. And he comes up with a nice bracha. Hashem Elokei Avosecham Yosef Aleichem. How do I know you shouldn't do that? Tamalomer lo sosifu ala davar. So you see, there is a violation of baltosif. But we just said that you can't violate baltosif once the zman of the mitzvah is over. Well, vahacha, kiven de barichle avr lezimnei. Once he already finished the actual brachas that he's supposed to give, the zman of the mitzvah was over, and v'katani davar, and yet we're saying by adding another bracha after that, he's still in violation of baltosif. So it says, "Marachem eskinu b'dilosiyim." No, it must be that he added the bracha in the middle. He didn't conclude the actual birchas kohanim. V'atanya siyim. But we have a brisa that says he did conclude the actual birchas kohanim. So siyim bracha achas. No, it means he only concluded one bracha, but he still has the other couple of psukim to do in birchas kohanim. So he's still in the middle of the zman mitzvah. V'atanya siyim kol birchosav. But we have a brisa that says not that way. The brisa says that even if you finished all of the brachas, it says Marashayin Yach and Kivin Dilim Mitzrayim Leitziburach Rini Hadam. No, even if he finished all the brachos of Birchas Kohanim, since the halacha is that if another tzibur were to show up and require a kohen, he would be mevarich them, it's still called the zman ha-mitzvah. So Rav Shem Bar Abba challenged, how can you tell me that there's no baltosif after the zman mitzvah? What about a kohen that adds an extra bracha that's baltosif after the zman mitzvah? So the Gemara's answer is, it's not after the zman mitzvah. Since if another tzibur required birchas kohanim, he would do it, like by Corona when they had a million different minyanim all over the place, so some of them were vying for kohanim. Everyone was trying to recruit a kohen to get birchas kohanim. So you could have a kohen that's rotating all around, and he could have a mitzvah to do birchas kohanim, so it's still called the zman of the mitzvah. Uminoteimra. How do I know that this is true? The Tanan, because we have a Mishnah that says as follows: if you have dam of various karbanos that all require just one matan of dam on the mizbeach, so you do one matan dam. Excuse me. Matan Dalad b'matan Dalad, you know some matan Dalad. If you have various karbanos that all require Dalad matanos on the Mizbeach, and the blood gets mixed in with each other, so then it's obvious, you do matan Dalad. Matan Dalad b'matan Achas, but if you have a karban that requires four matnos dam, and another one that requires only one matnos dam, and the blood gets mixed in with each other, so Rabbi Lezer Omer, you know some matan Dalad, Rabbi Shua Omer, you know some matan Achas. So then you have Machlok, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shua, whether you should do four on this mixture of blood, or only one. So Amar Rabbi Lezer says, Hareyu over al Baltigra. Of course you got to do four, because if you only do one, it's going to be a violation of Baltigra for the one that requires four. So Amar Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Shua says, right back at you, Hareyu over al Baltosif. If you do four, and then for the one that requires only one, it's going to be Baltosif. So Amar Rabbi Lezer, lo never Baltosif el Kshubatzmo. Rabbi Lezer says, no, Baltosif is only when you have only the dam that requires one and you do four times, that's going to be baltosif. But if it's a mixture of dam, it's not baltosif. Amar Rabbi Shua, same by me. Lo nemar baltigra al kshuba atzmo. Then it's only going to be baltigra if you have only the dam that requires four and you do it once. But if you have a mixture of dam, it's not baltigra. Va'oram Rabbi Shua. So far they're even. Each one has the same argument in both directions. But then Rabbi Yeshua says, kishalona sata avartal baltigra v'lo asisa maisi biyadecha. If you do only one matan dam, so it could be that it's Baltigra for that portion of the dam that requires Matan Dalid, but at least you did it b'shevi al taseh. At least you didn't, your violation is by not doing. But k'shenasata, if you do four matnas dam, then for the portion of the dam that really only requires one matnas dam, avart al baltosif vasisa maisi biyadecha. You violated baltosif actively, and that's much, much worse. But wait a second, says the Gemara. Over here, once you already did one matan dam, the zman is over. So why would it be baltosif to do another matan dam? I thought we said that there's only a violation of baltosif within the zman of the mitzvah. But if you have a karma that only requires one matan dam, and then you did one matan dam, the zman of the mitzvah is over already. So v'katani davar mishum baltosif. And you, apparently you violate baltosif. Lav mishum damrinu kibindu l'mishram le'bukhar achrina hadar mazaminei. So it must be that we say such a svara that since if another bechor were to arrive, we'd have a new mitzvah of doing a matan achas. So it's still called the zman mitzvah, just like we're saying by Birchas Kohanim that if you the kohen was already mevarich the am, but a new tzibur were to show up, he would need to be mevarich them. So that's also called the zman. So says Rabbi Mai, Dilmuk sav Rabbi Shua mitzvah sav alein afilu shelo bezmanan. Maybe Rabbi Shua holds that you could violate baltosif even after the zman is over. So says Rabbi. What we mean to say is as follows. What we were bothered by is that we had initially made a comment. We had initially stated that you're only in violation of baltosif when you do the extra during the Zman Mitzvah. And Rosh Hashanah Bar Abba jumped up and down and he started screaming, what are you talking about? That's against! And how does he finish the sentence? That's against what? And he quoted a brisa about Birchas Kohanim. That's against the brisa about Birchas Kohanim because we see even after the Zman Mitzvah you're still violating baltosif. Why is he quoting a brisa about Birchas Kohanim? We have a Mishnah about Matan Dam. Why doesn't he just quote the Mishnah about Matan Dam, where we still see that there could be a violation of Baltosif even after the Matan Dam was done, even after the Zman Mitzvah? So that's what bothered us. Anan Hachi Kamri, Rav Shom Bar Abba, my time is Shom Masnisim, most of me brisa, losim Masnisim. Why is he abandoning the Mishnah and asking for a brisa? Let him ask for the Mishnah. So Masnisim, my time is Lemosif, Kimidil Mishram Lebukharchina, Bai Mazmine, Kuliyam Zimnehu. The reason he didn't ask from the Mishnah is because he held that in the case of the Mishnah with the Bechor that it could still be the Zman HaMitzvah, because if another Bechor animal shows up you'd have to do a Matan Aleph, so it's still called the Zman HaMitzvah Brais Hanami, but by the same token the case of the Birchas Kohanim you could say the same thing. If another Tzibur shows up he would have to be Mevarich them, so it's all called the Zman of the Mitzvah. So Rav Shom Bar Abba, the reason Rav Shom Bar Abba asked from the Brais and not the Mishnah is Hasam Losag if another Bechor shows up, you have an absolute obligation to do a Matan Dam from the blood of that Bechor. Hacha, Ibai Mevarich, Ibai Lo Mevarich. But when it comes to the Birchas Kohanim, you don't have an absolute obligation to do the Birchas Kohanim. You can choose, the Kohen can choose to be Mevarich them, or can choose not to be Mevarich them. He doesn't have an obligation to be Mevarich them. Tosfos brings a raya from here that a Kohen that's Olah Duchan once during the day is no longer in violation of an Aseh if he's not Chozer or Mevarich, even if they tell him to be Olah. Normally when a Kohen is told to be Olah, he has to go up. It's a violation of an Aseh. Right? If a Kohen is not able to hold his hands properly or something like that, you know, they tell him to leave. leave before they call you up, because once you're called up, you have to go up. So that's only on the first time of the day. But you see from here that after that, one is no longer obligated to go up. Okay, we'll stop there, but we'll pick up tomorrow at Rava Amar, 3 lines from the bottom of the page. Thank you so much for joining me on this Motzai Shabbos. My good tovach, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good
pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good tovach.
Good tovach.
Thank you. Good tovach.